I really hate to keep having to do this. As I've said a million times before, and I'm going to keep saying, Tucker Carlson is a grifter and an insincere piece of, and he constantly caters to Nazis with his rhetoric. You know, his anti-Israel position is only a like formed from a desire to create a wedge within the right and to profit off of the increasing number of disaffected Republicans who understand that this war is about Israel and are shifting away from the mainstream GOP because of it. So none of it is sincere. It's all bullshit. Unfortunately, he's also the single best journalist in the, I guess, what I'd call mainstream media now.
Let's talk about...
This is the editor-in-chief of The Economist, the head of a reputable newspaper and, by all accounts, a very intelligent and very educated woman. What about Mehdi Hasan? Mehdi Hasan is not a mainstream journalist.
The way the debate develops in this country, because I think you're right, there is, it's extremely difficult to talk about the subject that you and I have just spent the last half hour talking about, because because there is a conflation very often. Anybody who criticizes Israel is vulnerable to being called anti-Zionist or anti-Semitic, and there's conflation by the exact people you've just been talking about, by the in the kind of firmament of political discussion.
Do you think that's a good faith response or a tactic?
I'm about to ask you that question. Clearly, I think you and I agree. We have both been critical of the Israeli government. I just want to kind of clarify terms a bit here.
Well, I've really been critical of the Israeli government.
I've been plenty critical of the Israeli government. I've told you at the beginning that we were against this war.
What do you think of Gaza?
What do I think of Gaza?
Yeah.
I think the war in Gaza, to start with, was a perfectly reasonable response in response to the horrors of October 7th.
What an interesting way of opening. How interesting.
I think now the places, I mean, I've been there. Have you been to Gaza? I've been to Gaza since the war started.
Flexing her level of access, wealth, and sort of connections. I mean, obviously going to Gaza after the genocide has started means you have connections to some extent in someone in her position. You're either very, very brave and reckless, or you're somebody with connections.
Would not
it's
let
catastrophic.
Me into Gaza.
70,
Trust me, very few
70,
journalists
000.
Get into Gaza. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I went with the IDF. It's the only way that you can go in, but nonetheless. You go in, no, and you see a flattened place. I think it is a disaster for the future of Israel.
Disaster for the future of Israel. That's the opening point. First thing. Oh, well, first of all, of course, Israel had every right to do what they did. And also, I think it's been a disaster for Israel. You know, it's been a disaster for Israel's PR, which obviously I, as a member of the media class, am responsible for to an extent upholding. Oh, October 7th? The genocide in Gaza? Yeah, I would say it was a pretty bad move in Israel's part, you know? They really tanked their PR, really did a number on us. As a member of the media class, it's my responsibility to defend the state of Israel against all criticisms. And Israel has made that difficult by being so transparently evil.
Disaster for the Palestinian people, a horror, 70,000 people dead.
Why would you describe it first as...
Gassy Israel.
It's a disaster for the future of Israel. You've got tens of thousands of civilians murdered, but it's... foremost a disaster for the future of Israel.
It's foremost a disaster
for the families of the dead kids.
You didn't say foremost. You said foremost. The first thing you said was that it was a disaster for Israel. At the very least, unambiguously, we know the Gaza Health Ministry, 70,000 dead. At least we know the number is higher than that, though. We know the number is higher than 70,000 dead. And the first thing you have to say is what a disaster. Can you imagine saying that for Germany, you know? Like, after the Holocaust? What do you think of the Holocaust? Well, first and foremost, it was a disaster for Germany, you know? And by the way, if you wanted to make that argument, like, obviously the Holocaust did pan out very poorly for Germany, if you'll remember, in addition to everything in World War II. But is that the first thing you say?
Absolutely. I made 3 points. Let me
sucks up to Israel in this way that suggests they're afraid. And everyone is afraid, and you know mm-hmm. that. Everyone's like, the real problem is calling people anti-Semites allows real anti-Semites to flourish. It's like,
okay,
no, actually, the real problem with calling people anti-Semites who aren't is accusing the innocent of a crime they didn't commit. And the real crime in Gaza is killing people who did nothing wrong.
This is a very intelligent woman, but notice how quickly she folds. Even the simplest, like, first-order questions, not even follow-ups, just very basic questions, and this very educated woman folds because, I mean, for a number of reasons. For one, she is terrified, as they all are, of criticizing Israel, because we all know what happens when you criticize Israel. If you are a member, remember, we talked about Mehdi Hasan a second ago. Do you remember why Mehdi Hasan was let go from MSNBC? Even MSNBC. We know what happens when a member of the media class or a politician speaks out against Israel. We know what happens if students do. Students do as well. If you were a Columbia student, if you were a student at any major university, congratulations, you join your university's pro-Palestinian organization, and you can expect to have your name doxed on websites where freaks and psychopaths, Jewish supremacists, Zionists, Christian evangelicals, they find your name, they blacklist you, they call businesses that you work at. Of course you're terrified. You're terrified of criticizing Israel. But the narrative is shifting. Unfortunately, the Democratic Party is still committed to this line. In the Democratic Party, you cannot criticize Israel. No, you can't. No, you can't. I know some people, somebody in chat was going to say, well, somebody said this. No. Even Bernie Sanders calls it Netanyahu's war. The criticism here of Israel goes far beyond the, oh, well, they've done a bad job handling this. Everything they've done, the unspeakable evil that they've committed, and before and after October 7th, on every level, everything they did to Gaza before October 7th, everything they did through the Nakba up to now, the extent to which they have been openly antagonistic to American interests in the region, the fact that they brought us into this war right now with Iran, the fact that they have killed numerous journalists, even Western journalists, they fired a missile at a British journalist literally 2 days ago. 2 days ago, it's on video. They fire a missile, it lands 10 feet away. 10 feet away on camera from a journalist. They love murdering journalists. And now the most critical you can be of Israel in the mainstream Democratic Party is, well, we're critical of how Netanyahu has handled this conflict. Not remotely far enough.
So those are the real problems, I would say. But no one can say it because you have to be like, oh, no, but really, October 7th.
I don't know what you're talking about, Kazi. We're having a...
Everyone watching this knows what I'm talking about.
Well, let's get on to that.
And notice how she's stunned, too. She's stunned. She can't defend herself properly. Again, I want to make it clear, this woman isn't stupid by any means, but she is weak to this argument. She's weak to these positions because she's never been challenged on them, because nobody in her social circle challenges them. She is fearful, and she has no experience dealing with this. She's completely vulnerable to attack here.
Right now.
Yeah.
Because you are critical of the government of Israel. Do you believe in Israel's right to exist? Would you consider yourself a Zionist in that narrow definition?
What a mean. I'm so tired of being asked if they have a right to exist. Does Lebanon have a right to exist? The country that Israel keeps threatening to completely destroy, that they keep invading and missile striking? I'm just going to say, no, I don't think Israel has a right to exist. I don't think any country has a right to exist. Sell me on the pitch. Give me a reason why Israel should exist more than any other country. Please, give me a reason.
What does that mean, a right to exist?
The existence of the political state of Israel as
it
is existing.
But it has a right. What does that mean?
That you think it should continue in its existence as a state right now. So you do not agree with Iran.
Nobody asks this about any other country. Nobody asks this about any other country. Not a single country in the world, ever, anywhere. Nobody asks this about any other country. Why this one? Do you think she knows she's being disingenuous? Yes, absolutely. Every warrior for Israel, everyone who is align themselves with a suicide cult is aware that they're lying. The only people who aren't aware of it are the fanatical, hyper-zealous Jewish supremacists and Christian evangelicals who are supporting it for religious reasons. Everyone in media and in politics knows they're lying, without exception.
On, for example.
Well, let me just ask, since you asked me the question, it's fair for me to get you to define the term so I can answer it. You've asked two questions. The first was, do you believe Israel has a right to exist? Mm-hmm. And the second question was, do you believe Israel should continue to go on as a nation state? And those are very different questions. So I often hear the
having
phrase...
Having been created as a political entity in 1948,
does it have a right
state
to exist? Is that what you're asking?
I don't want to get hung up on the right.
Should it continue to exist?
That's how I define narrowly designed.
Because the phrase you used was devised by the Israeli government, of course. Does it have a right to exist? And so my question to you would be, what does that mean?
Why don't you answer my question? It's a very simple question.
I don't know what
question.
Your question is. Are you asking, whether does it have a right to exist?
I think Tucker's stalling for time here. No, I'm so tired of the right to exist bullshit. It's a disingenuous gotcha question. The same as calling everyone who disagrees with you an anti-Semite. It's a meaningless question. Nobody asks it in any other context. It doesn't even mean anything. What does it mean for a state to have a right to exist? The borders of countries have shifted over time, sometimes naturally, sometimes unnaturally. The consequence of diplomacy and war. What does that mean, a right to exist? What does it mean? What does that mean?
Exist, or do I want it to exist? Do I seek its destruction?
Fine, answer it that way.
Well, of course I don't seek its destruction. Okay, I've already said, as you know, because I said it to you, I don't want Israel to be destroyed or have to use nuclear weapons.
We've established that you are, in that narrow terms, a Zionist. If that's
I'm in no sense a Zionist. I don't want any country to be destroyed at all, and I don't want people to die, particularly ones who committed no crime, because I don't believe in killing innocents, period.
This is also a semantic trick that they try to use by broadening the definition of Zionist to include merely not wanting to kill every resident of Israel. Thereby, if you are anti-Zionist, you must necessarily want every resident of Israel killed. Nope. Zionism is a prescriptive project about the Jews having a homeland there. The reason I don't want the eradication of Israel is because that would just mean that the millions of people would die. Like, that has nothing to do with, they're already there. But if you asked me back in, you know, the 40s, should I think Israel should be set up there? Do we want to ethnically cleanse the Arabs there? If I had known everything that would happen as a consequence of it, no, I would not. I would not want them to be there. And if there was a way to resolve this problem by peacefully transferring people, magically, I mean, because in reality, transferring populations is always a grueling and bloody ordeal. But if I could snap my fingers and move Israel to Minnesota, oh yeah, I would do that. For sure, that would fix so many global issues. Maybe gas prices would come down then. Yeah, just slap that shit right down there. Of course, but her insistence, well, if you don't want to literally kill everyone in Israel, that means you're a Zionist too, Tucker. No, fuck you. I reject this characterization because it would imply that everyone who's anti-Zionist is anti-life, and I disagree. I think Zionists are anti-life. I think I'm pro-life. In this narrow sense, not necessarily in the anti-choice abortion sense.
That's the basis of Western civilization. Eastern civilization, it's a whole different view. They believe in collective punishment. I don't.
So you're in no sense a Zionist.
I don't even know what that means. Why don't you define the term,
I'll tell you whether I am.
What's
a Zionist?
And you
said that a Zionist in my narrative.
A Zionist is when you don't want to literally kill every resident of Israel. Oh, okay, I guess literally everyone's a Zionist. I guess Iran is Zionist because Iran has not stated any intent to eradicate the population of Israel. I guess Hezbollah is Zionist because Hezbollah said that they would stop fighting with Israel if Israel returned to its 1948 borders. So Hezbollah is Zionist then, because they're okay with the conditional support for the existence of Israel. Jews get their homeland as long as it adheres to the 1948 borders. Okay, I guess everyone's, you know, the Houthis are Zionist, I guess? ISIS? Like, oh, sure, it's meaningless. And again, this is a very well-educated woman. She knows that she's being disingenuous here.
This definition is that the state of Israel, the political state of Israel, has the right to continue.
As opposed to a non-political state.
Continue existing.
The right? Where does that right come from? What do you mean? These are like, I'm not being a lawyer about it. I just want to know what you're asking
me. You answer the question.
You don't want to define your question, and I don't know why.
Because they're thought-terminating cliches. Because they're meaningless. They are... They are deliberately incoherent virtue tests, a way of demanding loyalty from you. You know, do you condemn Hamas? Well, I don't know. You know what? No, I fucking don't. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to fucking do about it, huh? No, I don't. Hamas has killed a tiny fraction of the people that Israel's killed. Do you condemn Israel? Oh, you don't? Oh, then I don't know why we're having this conversation. Fuck off. They aren't meant to be examined or explored. Just simple follow-up questions. Why should I condemn Hamas? Tell me what they've done that I'm condemning. For what actions am I condemning? Oh, they've killed these people? Well, Israel's killed many times more people, so should I condemn them in tandem? Should I condemn Israel like 30 times more than I condemn Hamas? Would that be acceptable to you, since the metric we're basing our condemnations off of is how many people they've killed? Is that acceptable to you? Because I'll condemn Hamas if it's 1/30th of the condemnation that I'm offering Israel. That seems fair to me. Well, then you think about it. Hamas didn't start a war with Iran and isn't trying to invade Lebanon and didn't annex more of Syria and isn't firing on Damascus. So, 1/300th? Also, how many people are going to die or starve as a consequence of the global gas prices rising from the Israeli strike on Iran that began this war? Maybe I condemn Hamas 1/300 billionth as much as I condemn Israel. Is that acceptable?
I don't know what you're asking me. I've already said I don't want Israel to be destroyed. I don't want anyone to be killed. And you've said, does Israel have a right to exist? Does it have a my question is, what right are you talking about? Does Britain have a right to exist? Does the United States have a right to exist?
There was a world order built up after 1945 which suggested that aggression should not be condoned into countries. Now, that countries with borders have the right to continue.
Has anyone told Israel that?
Totally agree with that.
Okay.
If that's, which is why the first thing that Israel did within 2 weeks of this war starting, which is supposedly existential for them, was take southern Lebanon, take someone else's country, as they have done repeatedly. And no one even mentions that. And so I guess I would be opposed to that because I guess I think Lebanon has a right to exist.
I thought Gaza had a right to exist.
She's getting fucking obliterated here. Like, it's not just her being on the back end. She can't even defend her terms. And there is no politician and no member of the media class that could do better than her, because the position of Zionism, the position of defending Israel, is an indefensible one. It is a position that relies on dishonesty and state power. The only reason Zionism has any hold in this country is because the media class and the political class are united in enforcing it. If that was not the case, nobody in America, people's positions on America would be the same as they are on every other despotic shithole across the world. People would have the same positions on Israel as they do Azerbaijan or the fucking Sudan. No one would give a shit. They would be spoken of with, like, derision, contempt, or ignorance. But because the powers that be have inflicted upon us this this constant deference, now we have to have a conversation. Which, as it seems, I think, in the long run, is going to end up being detrimental to Israel, because we're all having a conversation about them now. And Israel doesn't like the conversations that we're having. They're aware of the fact that with every passing year, people are getting more and more anti-Israeli, and I don't think we're going to switch back on that. They have lost their ability. Israel's ability to defend its existence and legitimacy to a Western audience is as vaporous and over with as Russia's ability to defend its status as a military superpower. It's not coming back.
But I noticed that as soon as we start apportioning rights, only one country gets
them. No, I did not say that. You're absolutely putting...
Then why don't you ask if Lebanon has a right to exist? Unlike Israel, Lebanon's actually getting invaded. No one's invaded. October 7th was an incursion, to be sure, but nobody's doing a land invasion of Israel and pushing in its borders. That's happening right now to Lebanon, as it's happened multiple times before. Why don't you ask if Lebanon has a right to exist? Do you? You never have. You never have. Nobody ever has.
So, because I believe, here's what I do believe, since you asked, I believe in universally applicable standards. And if they're not universally applicable, they're not standards, they're preferences. That's why I believe in human rights, not ethnic rights. I don't think Jews have more rights or less rights than anyone else. I don't think Christians have more rights or less rights, blacks, Filipinos. I believe in human rights that derive from the creation of people by God.
I know that... Tucker Carlson is a grifter, but I can only support what he is doing right now. Our suicide pact with Israel is driving us into collective civilizational a death spiral. I mean, like, the effects that our war with Iran, which was done for Israel and by Israel, are going to have on the global economy for years to come, unimaginable harm, all for the sake of Israel. It is unbelievable to me that any democratic coalition in this country believes they could hold a mandate without shifting their position on this obvious issue. I guess what I'm saying is that the evil that Tucker Carlson represents is infinitesimally small compared to the evil that even the most banal Zionist Democrat represents. That Tucker Carlson, for all of his grift, all of his disingenuity, and all of the evil that he spouts, it is paltry, objectively, just empirically speaking, when compared to the effects of Zionism on the world. Not just America, the world. So, I mean, you pick your evil. Right now, the Democrats are trying everything. I guarantee you that in their fucking DC consultancy circles, they are trying everything imaginable to create a coalition that will allow them to rule without having to compromise on Israel. They're worried about, they're thinking of conditional capitulations. Oh, maybe J Street instead of AIPAC, but they're not willing to fundamentally condemn what Israel is and what Zionism represents. And unless we do that and free ourselves from the suicide cult, we are just going to keep spiraling down because we are chained right now to an expansionist, nuclear, militarized, fascist state that is constantly warring with their neighbors. We're chained. We're anchored by our fucking, it's a big manacle around our ankle. Would Nazis consequentially be better than Zionists then? A trick question. Zionists are Nazis. Nice try. Nazis in America have very little institutional power, and to the extent that they do, it's in the mainstream Republican Party, and the mainstream Republican Party is a deeply Zionist institution. So you tell me where the line is. As far as I'm concerned, I'm arguing against fascism, militarism, expansionism, and ethno-nationalism. So you tell me where's the line. To me, this is a shockingly coherent position. Like, it's very, very easy to hold the line on this one.